Today is the Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. As I mentioned, it's a new feast on the Church's universal calendar. It maybe doesn't seem so new in this parish because this parish is named Mother of the Church, Mary Mother of the Church, but it's new on the calendar, and it makes me reflect a little bit on how the life of the Church grows. The Church has a kind of organic quality. It's a living thing. It's not just a structure, institution, static, you know, books. And liturgy has a kind of organic quality to it. It develops as the Church develops. I think Father Francis had a great intuition into this, that the liturgy is a living thing, and it has this kind of breathing and these cycles of dying and rising, and, you know, kind of like any natural, like any living thing. So you think, say a biology textbook from 1970 would say, well, biology was well understood in 1970, and most of what's in an old biology book is still valid, but on the other hand, it's out of date because we know more and things grow and our knowledge grows. And so you want to, with science, we expect to update our books and our understanding to correspond with the growth of things, or the discovery of new things, or the deeper understanding of things we already know. Well, there's something like that as we ponder the Church, as we ponder the liturgy. It doesn't change. Just like living things don't change into something else, but we can understand them better, and they do grow, they develop. So today that comes to mind for several reasons. One is this is a new feast day, but also because May 29 is also a new feast day in the Church, the optional memorial of St. Paul VI, Pope Paul VI, who was a pope when I was in school. It's a new feast day too. In fact, I'm not quite sure how this worked, but I think this feast of Mary, Mother of the Church, which is an obligatory memorial, so it's higher ranking than Paul VI. I think it was 2018. Yeah, 2018. And I think Paul VI was canonized in 2018, or right around that time. So I'm not sure if these two feast days ended up on the calendar at the same time, but close. And there's something striking about it because the title Mary, Mother of the Church was made official by Pope Paul VI. So it's striking that on his feast day, this feast of Our Lady, it takes prominence, exactly what he would want. He would want Mary to be given significance as Mother of the Church. The short history of the feast in honor of Paul VI is also kind of checkered, because if he was canonized in 2018, then his first feast day would be 2019. I don't know if he even knew about it at the time. Then 2020, we were all locked down, so I don't know if anybody, I can't remember what happened in 2020. Certainly we didn't have any public mass in his honor. 2021, we probably had a feast in his honor. Then 2022, yeah, last year, his feast day fell on a Sunday, so we didn't have it. Today it falls on the day after Pentecost, so we don't honor Paul VI. So it keeps giving way to other things. Now, part of what enriches or complicates this reflection is the experience of our parish here. This, our shrine here, is in the parish of Mary, Mother of the Church. And in my years here, I've noticed the effort of the parish to try to establish a fiesta. And it's been on lots of different days. I think in the earlier days, in my memory, is that it was celebrated on the foundation day of the parish. I think it's in November, but you might know better. You're a... May 1st. May 1st?
Yeah, May before.
It was in May, so I think it might have been on Mother's Day. That was one of the options that the parish considered, was Mother's Day, which is always in May. And then I don't remember how November, I think, is the foundation day. Anyway, well then, when Pope Francis comes out and says, no, Feast of Mary, Mother of the Church is going to be the day after Pentecost, well then the parish had to take into account, oh, now the date is set, but it's always on a Monday. And in modern parishes, you can't have a fiesta on a weekday. So every single year, the fiesta is on a weekday, and every single year it has to be transferred to a Sunday. So it seems to me the pattern is now always to take the Sunday after Pentecost, which is always Trinity Sunday, and use it as the Feast of Mary, Mother of the Church, or the fiesta of the parish. That's what we're doing this year. In old parishes, like in the provinces, they don't have to move the fiesta to a Sunday. I noticed this because the whole culture of the town is focused on the date, no matter when it is. So everything shuts down anyway, and people can celebrate. But in modern parishes and city parishes like this, you can't have a fiesta on a Monday. Nobody would come but all the retired people. Okay. Now, let's reflect a little bit. The reason I maybe that's a digression, but I'd like to reflect on the growth of the church, because it does make us understand that the church is alive, and the church's spiritual life, the liturgy, is alive. It's too confining to think of the liturgy as just, this is what's written down, this is in the book, this is the prayer you say, this is the day you do it. And it's like a dead thing. A lot of people think of the liturgy or any of the Catholic rituals as dead because they're fixed. No spontaneity, no life. Well, you see, I can understand that impression. I think I thought that too when I was a child. Like, it's the same, the Mass is the same all the time, so boring. And, you know, you go through the same cycles over and over, it's so boring. But if you get past that superficial impression, you realize, no, even if it is the same prayers, even if it is the same cycle, it's new every time it comes around, because it's alive. Just like any living thing, we celebrate our birthday every year, and it's not the same every year because we're 1 year older, we have one more year of experience and knowledge, and we know people, and our families grow, and people come and go into our lives, and we don't think, oh, it's so boring to have a birthday every year. We say, well, that's how life is. We celebrate life. So we're celebrating the life of the church here. Now, so maybe too long an explanation. Let's focus for a moment on this title of Mary, Mother of the Church. Mary has lots of titles. We know this. I just learned the other day that in the Philippines, there are 26 national shrines in honor of Mary, 26 different titles of Mary in the whole country. And three of them are in this diocese, Parañaque. So there's the National Shrine of our Mother of Perpetual Health in Baclaran. There's the National Shrine of our Mary Help of Christians, the Salesians there in Parañaque. And then there's the National Shrine of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal over in on the other side of the highway. So those are different titles of Mary, and we know there's many of them. The original title of Mary is, of course, Mother of God, Theotokos. That's the feast day we celebrate on January 1st. The primordial reality of Mary is that she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God, so she's the Mother of God. In fact, all the other titles flow from that. Now, Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, having died and risen and sent us the Holy Spirit, has established the church as his body. So, if Mary is mother of Jesus Christ, well then she is mother of his body, the church. And this is not a new insight. This is very, very old. This is ancient, in fact. Even though this feast day is new, the church has always honored Mary's maternal role in relation to the church. The first reading we had just a moment ago was the passage from Acts of the Apostles, which points to Mary gathered with the apostles in the upper room awaiting the coming, and awaiting and praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's a clearly maternal role Mary has there, nurturing the church from the very beginning. The gospel I read goes back, well, 50 days earlier to Good Friday, or 40 days earlier, goes and takes us to what Jesus declared about Mary from the cross. She is your mother. Behold your mother. Now, he was speaking to the beloved disciple, but by extension, speaking to all who are beloved disciples, his beloved disciples. She is mother of the beloved disciple. She is mother of all beloved disciples, meaning all of us. She's mother of the church. So from the cross, she's mother of the church. From Pentecost, she's mother of the church. And now in the 21st century, her title, back in 1964, 65, Pope St. Paul VI declared her mother of the church. And now in the 21st century, you have a feast day, a mother of the church. What is a mother? A mother is one who conceives and brings forth and nurtures life, life giver. We can turn to Mary as the one who has journeyed with us from our spiritual conception, has carried us in her heart, it has nurtured us and is still doing so, bringing forth life in us. She's the ultimate cooperator with the Holy Spirit. Mary and the Holy Spirit are the ones who bring forth Jesus Christ. She conceives by the power of the Holy Spirit. She's still bringing forth the life of Christ in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why this feast day is so deliberately chosen as the day after Pentecost. It's almost like it is still Pentecost, but in order to understand Pentecost more fully, we have to have a perfect receptacle, a perfect cooperator. And this is true of all the big Mary, all the big feast days in the church. God reveals something, God bestows grace, God enters into time, and someone has to be there to receive and respond. So we know this is at Christmas time, we know it at the Annunciation, we know it at the birth of Christ, we know it at the cross. Jesus gives his life. Mary is there to receive his life and bring it forth into the church. Well, the same with Pentecost. With Pentecost, we celebrate the outpouring of divine love into the church. Now, we know the apostles were not perfect receptacles. They were not perfect in their response. But Mary was and is the perfect cooperator with the Holy Spirit. So that's why we can have great confidence in her intercession. The power comes from God through the Holy Spirit, but the channel through which that power is fully made available in the church is the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. That's what we celebrate. So I'm sure we could say more about that. There's a lot to reflect on. Certainly this feast day is very close to our own Anuam spirituality. It comes naturally to us. We talk about Mary as our Queen Mother. We talk about Mary as the mother whose role is constantly bringing forth the life of Jesus in the church and the world. So we can continue to do that now as we enter into this season after Easter, this ordinary time. We are under the maternal guidance and care, protection of our mother, Mary, Mother of the Church.